Welcome back to another episode of Fantasy End Zone. I'm your host, Jake. You can follow me on X, Twitter, whatever you call it, at LouisLewis5. That's LEWYLEWIS and the number 5. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. I do have a guest with me. I'll introduce him in a minute. What a week two. Top players, it's revenge after the dud week one. And they showed out. On today's show, my guest and I, we will be talking about some other injuries that took part because, man, we can't escape those. Our thoughts on week two, our waivers, and over and under reactions. We got a lot to get into it, so let's get fantasy. I'm here joined by one of my best friends, Andrew Punzel. I refer to him as Punzel, so if you hear Punzel, that's why. But anyways, Punzel, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Introduce yourself and give a little bit about yourself to the audience.
Well, my name is Andrew Punzel. As far as my 9-to-5 average Joe job, I do HVAC sales. Just got married. I have a little over 2 month old. That's about all I got for me.
Yeah. I mean, how's the sleeping going right now?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Better than expected.
Taking care of it.
Oh yeah. She definitely does most of it.
No, trust me. I understand. Cause Sam is the same way. but yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today. I know I've been wanting to get more friends and family and others into the show. You know, all last season, I did most of it all by myself. Now I just want to do more with guests. I'll have guests on every Tuesday night, and Bill's going to be on Fridays. But nonetheless, I do appreciate you, you know, and sharing the passion for fantasy football and football in general. I mean, you have Sunday parties all the time. I know that, even if you don't invite me, but, you know, it is what it is. But no, I'm just kidding. But how was your week two this past week?
It was good. It was good. Didn't do a whole lot. Just chilled at home with the fam and had Red Zone on. And it was a very entertaining Red Zone, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. That's all I watched all week, especially because our Packers didn't have to play until, you know, they already played on Thursday. But, yeah, we got a lot to get into. Let's get into the injuries for week two since, like I said, it always happens. The biggest one, let's start out with Joe Burrow. He suffered a turf toe injury that is going to keep him out a few weeks, but now it's a grade 3 injury and will require surgery. Time frame is roughly 3 months at minimum. Punzel, first off, how do you feel about this?
I mean, it just, for him, sucks. Seems like he can't stay healthy. They don't protect him. He's like the new generation Andrew Luck, it's seeming like. Now, hopefully he doesn't just randomly retire in, 4 months or whatever. But if he did, maybe then the Bengals would get the message and they should probably spend a couple dollars on the offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, it's also hard when you spend all money on him, Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, but I totally agree. They need to protect him. And their defense is terrible as well. And they, you know, they have Hendrickson and everything else that they still are having to deal with if they need to pay him or not. But nonetheless, it seems like every other year he's getting hurt as well. You know, a couple years ago, he had the wrist injury that was out for the whole season. Couple years before that, he tore his ACL. You know, it just always seems to happen. Do you have any shares of him in any of your leagues?
Luckily, no. I only have the shares via Jamar Chase.
But I don't think he'll suffer in this. I mean, hell.
I think T. Higgins is definitely the one that suffers the most.
him, and then I'd say Chase Brown as well. What do you think fantasy owners should be doing with this news?
The obvious, I mean, and Browning. Now, he did do pretty good 2 years ago for them. Now he's had two more years of maturing. Outside of the picks, I mean, he's still fantasy-wise did very good. I think he had like 24.7 points, something like that, which is still pretty productive for him not even playing a full game. And then you got to think on the retrospect, yeah, as a backup, you always got to be prepared to go in. But, I mean, the game plan wasn't for him. It was for Burrow. How much did he, you know, did was it Zach Taylor? How much did he adapt on the fly? Or was it just Joe Burrow's game plan and he just did decent? I mean, he got the win, had the picks. But I could see the picks getting better moving forward, knowing that he's the man for the next 3 months.
Yeah, definitely. Other news, J.J. McCarthy is set to miss 2 to 4 weeks dealing with an ankle injury, it sounds like. How will the Vikings, you know, go on without J.J. McCarthy? Do you think it's a big hit or not?
Blessing in disguise.
Same thing, I mean, as you're, you know, getting Sam Darnold.
He's still, I mean, basically a rookie, right? You know, how much could he really learn? I mean, he could learn the playbook. That was about really it last year with his meniscus and then going back in for another surgery, I do believe. He was never really out there to hands-on learn from Darnold, who absolutely killed it. Yep. Now, Wentz, I mean, he was an MVP running before.
Yeah.
I'm getting hurt.
It's going to be
other guys.
It's going to be interesting seeing about Carson Wentz, see how he's going to produce. We're recording during the show or during the Houston and Tampa game. Nick Chubb just ran for a 25-yard touchdown. So I got Nick and what all that mixed up. But I just think he played like crap, I feel like, in the first couple games. And maybe this is, you know, get him settled, you know, learn a little bit more from another veteran, how he gets ready, especially this year in Carson Wentz. Other injuries that occurred, Austin Eckler is out for the season with a torn Achilles. Punzel, does this mean it's Bill Kraske merit time?
Good old Bill. I mean, who else is it going to be? It's show up or don't, right? Now, optimistically, I hope, or selfishly, I hope it is his time. I do have him in quite a few leagues. I did also have Eckler, but he was more of a fill-in back for bye week, so he didn't really hurt me personally. It sucks because I thought Eckler maybe could have had a resurrection of his, used to be top five pick, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Back when he was in the Chargers. San Diego.
But, it's a blow to, I think, the Commanders, especially because they traded away Brian Robinson for basically, you know, bag of peanuts, sixth round pick. And now it's got to be Jacoby Kraske merit time. I mean, they did Chris Rodriguez, two healthy scratches, but now it's time, like you said, time to shine.
Yeah, in my opinion, I mean, to not keep him, you know, with old Eckler. I mean, Eckler was, you know, showed signs of, all right, you know, he might be a salvageable back or for the team. And then to just give him away, like you said, for basically a bag of peanuts. They had to have seen something in him where now we're going to get to see it no matter what. I mean, he's next man up.
I mean, also, Jacoby Kraske Merritt did only play one college football game last season and then got suspended with the whole eligibility issues. And during that one game, he had like 143 yards. Last week, week one, he 82 yards and touchdown. This past week, though, against this Packers defense, is just they bobbled up everyone and everything. Also in that Thursday night game, Jaden Daniels, he also is hurt. He has a knee sprain. His status for Sunday is in doubt. Do you think he's going to play this week?
I mean, if they're already saying, you know, he's in doubt, not looking good. If you're saying that already on, you know, we're still in week two, technically.
Yep.
I don't think, they play, I think Sunday, right?
Yeah, I do believe so. They should be.
Yeah, let's see here. Yeah, against the Raiders, who, I mean, we'll see tonight.
What are they made
for
of.
Real, or, you know, going against the Chargers team that just controlled basically that whole Kansas City game. So, yeah, we'll see how they fare tonight. And then we'll go from there. I mean, not having him won't be ideal going against that team, even if they do lay a dud tonight. Yep. But if he only misses a week, I think it's better to miss a week than turning that into a Joe Burrow situation. Obviously, right. Not with turf toe, but being out multiple games. Not being
100%. Yeah, definitely.
You know, go for the long run. I still think they have a great team.
Oh, yeah.
So with that being said, I feel like if he ain't 95% or better, I don't think they send him out.
No, I totally agree. Also, in the Thursday night game, I mean, this must have been just an injury riddled game. Jaden Reed broke his collarbone. He's set to miss 6 to 8 weeks from what it sounds like. Who's the next man up for the Packers? Who's going to step up, or who needs to step up, I guess?
The obvious answer would be the golden boy, man. He's going to have a lot more opportunities. Now, as far as Packers aspect, I mean, everyone, I mean, we've seen it last year. We were injury riddled, and it was just next man up. You know, Malik Heath, Wicks. I mean, you name it. Yep. They just, it's like we have 9 number two wide receivers on our team.
No number one, but 9 number twos.
Which, I mean, is a good problem to have. You know, with the who was supposed to be our number one, you know, still coming back from his knee injury, or yep, waiting to come back, I should say. But I'd say Golden, and then, you know, Malik Heath's catch. You know, he's going to get a lot more opportunities.
That little toe tap.
Yeah, that was a pretty impressive catch. And but I'm just hoping to see Golden explode. But that's the thing with Packer wide receivers. It's like, with the exception of that first game, no one blew up. Mm-hmm. But then obviously we had Tucker Kraft show. That's how it sucks having them in fantasy, but it's great as a fan because you have all these guys, but it's like, all right, who do I start this week? Who's the one guy that's going to get the 100 yards, a touchdown or two?
Definitely.
Longevity. Yep. For the team aspect, but fantasy wise, it's, you know, and then maybe Golden shines. And then when Watson comes back, which sounds like it might be sooner rather than later, Golden.
Just came back with an extension as well. Moving on, some other injury news. Sunday night, boring football game. Aaron Jones injured his hamstring, did not return. They don't know the severity of it, according to Kevin O'Connell. Us being Packer fans, we dealt with Jones injuring his hamstring, and it lingered for a long time. I feel like you missed, 8 weeks with it into the season, you know, his last year on the Packers. And this might linger as well. You know, is this why they traded for Jordan Mason? I mean, essentially, I feel like yes, but
100%. You know, they got lucky last year. He actually played in 17 games, which is, yep. I think I was looking and I think back when it was 16-game season, I think Jones played 16 games his second or third year, and I think that might have been it. So we're used to it, right, in the soft tissue. And if, I feel like when they come up earlier in the season, they linger the longest. You know, it seemed like he pulled it pretty good. I mean, we'll see how it plays out, but I think with them having Mason, they'll be all right in that category.
Yeah, I just think Jordan Mason's going to take over that backfield and become that 1A, and Jones, once he comes back healthy, will be the 1B, I guess you'd say, in my opinion. I think Mason showed out last year. He averaged, 4 or 5 yards a carry. Every time you touch a ball, you use lethal.
He thought he was CMC still.
Well, he had to be.
Fantasy-wise.
During that time. The last injury is the Jets did not soar like we all thought he would against the Bills. Justin Fields, one of the reasons they didn't probably soar, I mean, he didn't play well at all. He only had 27 yards passing. I mean, hell, even the Bills' backup, Mitch Trubisky, had more passes and passing yards in one pass. Do you think he plays? I know he got evaluated for concussion and didn't return. Do you think Justin Fields plays next week against Tampa?
I mean, if he's cleared, I do believe so.
Would you play him, though, against Tampa? I mean, knowing C.J. Stroud is not doing terrible currently, I feel like he's running for his life, but he's got 207 and touchdown right now.
Yeah, I mean, I say you play him. I say you play him. I mean, he's got a rebound. I think it would almost be worse on him
right
to not play him if he was able to go, just because of how, I mean, he looked really good week one.
And yeah, then he gives you that rushing upside without a doubt anytime.
And he looked like a pocket passer week one. I mean, yeah, I don't know if it was just the revenge against the Steelers of like, you shouldn't have let me go. You took this 50-year-old instead.
They still lost
the better the better end of the deal there via the kick. But yeah, it was just like, and then the horrible performance, even, you know, before his concussion. I feel like you got to get him back out there, get him back on track, because he looked a lot better.
Yeah.
And then didn't look good at all. It's kind of like Lions more, flipped.
Yeah, they got to have more, you know, structured game for him going into next week if he does play. Let's get into talking about some of the games. What were your thoughts overall on week two as a whole?
It was electric, entertaining. Fantasy-wise, it was fun seeing all the updates of all the touchdowns. Forgot what the final number was, 70-something, just in red zone. So the first, you know, the noon and 3 o'clock games, which was 30, I think, more than the episode the week before. Granted, there was one less game during that hour. Actually, I think it ended up being even. She still had Thursday, and then Friday's game that week, and we have two Mondays this week. So I think as the games wise, it was the same.
Right.
And it was just like, you know, is it the no one really plays in preseason? Just kind of had to get game ready, get reconditioned, forgot how tiring it was. And then everyone just lit it up across the board, especially in the Giants and Cowboys game. They didn't look like they were tired at all.
Not at all. Yeah, for me, I think it was like, you know, the revenge game of the top players that struggled in week one. Jamar Chase, Nico Collins is still struggling, it looks like. But like a whole bunch of these top guys that we wanted, you know, first round redraft leagues that did dud week one, now blew it up in week two. Also, points scored were, I mean, the total from all the games, the 16 games in week one, 661 total points. That's an average of 20.65 per team. This week so far, not including these games right now, these Monday night games, it was 729 points. It's an average currently of 26.03 points per game, per team. That's almost a touchdown more than every team in week one. So that's roughly about 14 extra touchdowns. And I feel like maybe it has to do with the preseason, like you brought up. Should they play more in the preseason, or should they have a fourth game preseason? What do you think? Because week one always seems to be struggling for a lot of teams.
I mean, as a fan, I like the extra game and then not making the season technically longer.
Longer.
As far as just the player aspect, you know, it's still a 20-week season. For granted, now all these starters, they are getting one more game of wear and tear, sure. But it's up to them. I mean, You just got to play a little bit. I mean, everyone always, what if, what if? Well, what if you come out on week one and or week two and get turf toe and you're out? It can happen at any time. It doesn't matter.
Right.
You just got to be smarter in the preseason where it's like, you feel that sack, just drop to the ground. It's preseason. Like, it does not matter. You don't have to make a play, especially if you're a starter. Like, you have your job. Don't do the extra unnecessary stuff that you may do in a game that may be necessary in that aspect. Just, oh, he's coming right for me. I'm not going to throw this ball and take this hit. I'm just going to fall down. You can have the sack. I don't care.
Yep.
I think there's ways to be smarter about it where you can still get your reps in, get the game feel, if that really is the lackluster of week one.
Right. Or even, I mean, Terry McLaurin, don't hold out all camp. Get your shit figured
Yeah.
out. What was your favorite game from week two, though?
Mine on an entertainment standpoint was the Cowboys Giants. That
Yep.
game was insane. It went from like, oh, the Giants just won. Oh no, the Cowboys just won. Oh no, wow, the Giants just won. Malik just caught a ball blindfolded to
Yep.
a short 64-yard pooch kick from Aubrey that he made and hit the back net. I mean, it was ridiculous. He could have probably made that from 70
Oh yeah. He could
easily,
easily do
which
the
is
Cam Little, 70 plus.
like
That guy's way too
absolutely
damn good.
insane. And then now Aubrey leads multiple first round picks in fantasy points just in that game alone, let alone week one. I
Right.
saw that and I thought that was pretty funny. So when people do take a kicker in the, eighth round, it's, I guess if it's Aubrey, it's okay because you're getting some production.
Right.
But and then it was really cool for the Russell Wilson. Even though he didn't win, and outside of that pick that was pretty dumb that cost them the game,
I
he
agree.
was like, "You're gonna bench me after 465 yards or whatever the final number was."
Yeah, his
And
career
he was
high.
completing like 90% of his passes there for a while. I
No,
mean,
I totally agree.
everyone wants to see Dart, but I mean, Wilson, I think it's good if you can be successful to keep Dart on the sideline as
Yep.
long as you can, especially behind that offensive line that you want him to come in and just get absolutely murdered, like Justin Fields, Mitchell Trubisky in the Bears offense. Look at the Caleb Williams last year, got hit 12 million times. I mean, look at Burrow. Granted,
Yeah.
Burrow's established and good, but I mean, he gets hit like
Way too
it's
much.
piece of cake. Like everyone's just falling on their rear end on the offensive line. Just
Right.
saying, yeah, here's the door, go get him.
Right. I totally agree. I figured you were going to pick that, so I didn't pick that as my favorite game. I would say the Lions versus the Bears. Lions made a statement in that game, scoring 52 points against former OC Ben Johnson. I know the storyline was how will he do without Ben Johnson? Ben Johnson, no problem. They scored 52, but now being a Packer fan myself, does that mean the Bears defense sucks? Is the Packers legit defense? Is it hard to start players against the Packers defense? I feel like it is. I mean, we've seen Jaden Daniels struggle and a bunch of these commanders in week two struggle, but maybe it was the Lions had growing pains dealing with three new offensive linemen, new OC week one. It's hard to see, but nonetheless, Lions came back with 52 points and they just blew it out. And they're celebrating, jumping in the stands. Amon-Ra St. Brown had three touchdowns. Jameson Williams only two catches, but 100 plus yards and a touchdown. It was just a great game. What do you think about Caleb Williams, though, so far this season? Is he better than last?
I think they messed up. And you hear some of these reports of like, Caleb was supposed to be the golden child. It was him. You hear, these rumors that they never even did their homework and looked at Daniels, looked at anyone, right? And it was just Caleb, otherwise the city of Chicago is going to burn down Soldier Field if they didn't Not saying Caleb's bad. I mean, he has all the skill set. I mean, I think he's set up for last year for sure was set up for failure. With that offensive line, couldn't fight their way out of a wet paper bag, probably.
They look bad.
But I don't know. His decision making is almost seems slow at times. He's like sees everything late. It's like his body's ahead of his mind, or he wants to throw it, but he doesn't see it. And you just see a lot of like, I mean, rookie mistakes, really. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be awful,
Right.
but it's like the next best place to go for a quarterback to die other than Cleveland. It seems like.
Yeah, it is a top place. I feel like the first like half scripted plays are good, and then when he has to adjust or improvise, he doesn't look pretty.
Yeah,
Does
it's like
not
if it's
look
not
pretty.
rehearsed in practice all week, then it's
No,
like
no.
wild, right? I mean, I don't know if they gotta let him just run more and be free, if they're trying to keep him in the pocket until all else fails, or what they're doing. But I just feel like he's got a long way to go. I mean,
Definitely.
I know people are calling for was it
Tyson
Edgett
Badgett.
and
Yeah.
Badgett?
Tyson
Yeah.
Badgett.
To play, I mean, honestly, if he, I'm not saying to bench him because he's bad, but just sit for a little bit and actually learn. Not that you're going to learn a ton from him, but really hone in some more experience that's not on the field on Sundays,
Right.
just to get back. I mean, it's easy for us to say when we're the last two. It's bad. I mean, Brett Favre technically did, but not for long at all. But they brought him in and the magic man went down. But Rodgers
Right.
sitting 3 years, obviously love doing it right after. And I'm not saying Love is the best quarterback in the league, but he has a lot of
Yes, what are you talking
skill
about? No, I'm
set.
just
I mean, he
kidding.
could be, right? Can't rule it out, but he's made a lot
Yeah.
smarter decisions, just missing a couple throws. But like that's the benefit to sit there and learn. Granted, he got to learn from Aaron Rodgers, first ballot Hall of Famer. He doesn't
Right.
have that bonus.
He didn't have that luxury
Yeah.
at all.
But like Jayden Daniels is, I said he was gonna be the best one out of that group last year, and everyone just thought it was because I knew he was going to the Bears. I was being a hater, and I just said, I think Daniels is just gonna be better. I mean, when's the last quarterback that was one overall that was hyped up that much that actually was successful? Or they had to wait 7 years like Baker Mayfield to finally find the system
Right.
that was right for you or whatever.
He learns a new system every year, so he's all right.
He's
As
smart.
they just won 20-19 against the Texans with a last second touch rushing touchdown by Rashad White.
Ooh, White salvaging that from Buffy.
Yeah, 2 yards away with 9 seconds, and they decide to run it. That's surprising. But yeah, I mean, I feel like Williams is progressing compared to last year. Last year was just a terrible year. I mean, maybe it's just because I'm a big fan because I have him in multiple leagues, but I also feel like he's showing signs that he's improving. The offense line is improving.
Yeah.
It's not snap your fingers, a whole offense like Baker does. It's going to be growing pains. I think this year, I'm sorry, Bears fan, it is not a Super Bowl season. I mean, you won the Won the Super Bowl in the offseason the last 2 years, apparently, how you guys feel, but they're not going anywhere this year, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I will give him benefit of the doubt. Ben Johnson's offense is very complex.
Yep.
So the real test, I think, when we really see if he's improving or not, think will come mid-October, giving him the benefit of
Yep.
the doubt.
I figured after the first 6 to 8 weeks, after probably their bye week, and then he learns a little bit more. But
Figure it out.
let's get into just talk about a few of these games. I'm just going to pick random ones. Patriots against Dolphins. Dolphins did not score 8 points this week. They scored 27, but they still lost. Patriots scored 33. Once again, 33, your dad's favorite number, but the Dolphins gave up 33 week one. Now week two, Drake May actually looked really good. I really like what I seen out of Drake May. You know, 19 for 23, 230, two touchdowns. He added 31 yards rushing and a touchdown as well. Do you think he could be a top 8 quarterback in fantasy this year? Now that Burrow's out, that's one guy that's gone, you figure. Jaden Daniels might miss time. Brock Purdy was probably up there as well. He's missing time as well. I could see it.
Maybe. I still think fantasy-wise, pending any more injuries, like I still think Tua, fantasy-wise, will have a better season because the way their defense looks, they might be throwing a lot.
315, two touchdowns, one interception for Tua. But you only had 6 incompletions, so it's not terrible.
Yeah. How many of them were technically caught just by the other team then? So they didn't really put the ball on the ground very often.
Well, they struggled running the ball. Geno
Smith, I can see finishing higher than him.
Yep.
I don't know if you had him as one of the potential only 7 above him.
I do not.
But I don't think he's a bad, especially in deeper leagues. I mean, 14 team, 16 team. I don't think he's a bad fantasy quarterback to have, especially if you have him. That means you should have better capital up top, or because you didn't, you know, you could probably still pick him up, right. Let alone got him in the third to last round if you're saving the last 2 for kicker and defense if you have those in your leagues.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean, 4 incompletions is pretty good. I mean, QBR of 77.6.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I think he did well. Diggs is only still playing, you know, 60-70% of snaps. He's not full go just quite yet with that ACL injury from last season. But I feel like he could be a big difference maker, giving May a big body receiver. You know, I know Kayshon Boutte week 1 was dominant. This week he only had 1 catch, 16, but a touchdown. Only 1 target, though. But overall, I feel like Diggs will help out him later on in the season. But as of right now, he's improvising. He's doing like what Jordan Love. He has no one that he has to target. He's just making plays.
Yep. And Ramondre Stevenson, I think. He showed that, you know, Trevion's a great asset, but he's still the dog. You know, he still eats.
54 rushing. Yeah, 88 yards receiving on 5 catches. Oh, yeah, I was surprised by that. I mean, I seen he had that 55-yard reception. I was like, what the hell? You know, watching Red Zone and sitting back watching all that is a good time. Yeah,
you heard his name a lot on there, and it was like, oh.
Definitely.
So he's not just second fiddle, used 5 times.
Right.
I think they went back to the drawing board and said, like, yeah, you're not. I mean, he's what? Fifth year in the league this year?
5th or 6th, yeah, something like that.
Like, he's not old. It's not like you're trying to phase out some 30-plus-year-old.
Right. And then we look at the Dolphins. Tyreek Hill, vintage, 6 catches, 109. Achan, 8 catches, 92 yards, 1 touchdown receiving. They can't get anything going on the ground with 30 yards rushing. It's horrible, but...
And Achan used his wheels.
He's helping out in the passing game. Oh, my God. Each and every week he does. And then Jalen Waddle, 5 catches, 68 yards, 1 touchdown. I feel like he should be a lot better than what he is. It's just unfortunate that he doesn't really get the ball a lot, it seems like. And then Tua's also hurt all the time, too.
Yeah, the Dolphins are just – I'm glad they look better fantasy-wise.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, like, they struggled so bad in the week 1, but coming back and, you know, coming back with a vengeance.
Let's see. Yeah, they can score points. They proved that they can still score points. Tua proved that, you know, he's not washed out, doesn't remember his name, had 55 concussions, right? He showed he can still ball. So the team still has a chance to make some noise and upset some people.
Definitely. Let's take a look at this Broncos in Indianapolis. game. Jeez.
Do you want me to what act more like could you Pat want McAfee from that? Or...
What's that?
Want me to act like Pat McAfee, or do you want me to just be me?
Do whatever you gotta do.
Because I did not see the Pat McAfee show today, but he had to have been going berserk.
I mean, this game had everything. Wild chaos at the end in dramatic fashion. You know, he missed a, what, 60-yard, 64-yard field goal or 60, whatever it was?
60, 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, 60-yard field goal. I mean, hell, Spencer Schrader, 5 for 5. He's never missed a kick in the NFL. Dating, and he's been in the NFL for 2 years. But, yeah, he hit the game winner after he missed it with a personal foul and got 15 yards. And, hey, he made it and won the game for the Colts 29-28. But what a performance by Bo Nix. Only 206 passing, but 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. I consider that really good.
Yeah, Bo looked good. Dobbins looked great.
Man, what's going on with RJ Harvey? Why is he not getting touches right now?
I mean, Dobbins was one that was a very gifted soul and was riddled with injuries.
Oh,
and I had a lot of stock in him in all those years. when he would get hurt every other time I took him. So I didn't take him this year. So you're welcome, Dobbins, because you'll be healthy this year.
Yeah, 76 yards, 1 touchdown.
Yeah, I went 14 carries, too. Very productive.
Yeah, 5.4 yards per carry. I mean, definitely big highlight for him. But Troy Franklin, 8 catches, 89 yards, 1 touchdown. Is he wide receiver 2 on this team now? I feel like he is behind Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, and I'm a huge Mims fan, too. I thought he was going to be a very sneaky late round. Going to get a lot of targets. Cortland Sutton's going to take a lot of attention. And he's going to just feast. Kind of like someone I have coming in later in the show that I'm going to talk about, but I saw you pick the same person. So
it's all right.
Before even seeing it, I was like, dude, this dog, because I actually had him before and never did anything. I always thought he was going to be, everybody got to think of someone else. But anyways, but he's killing it. But yeah, definitely. Mims, I mean, he only had 2 targets, I mean, 2 catches. It wasn't even like he only caught, you know, like Marvin Harrison Jr. the first week where he was targeted a bunch, but only got to secure a small fraction of his targets.
Right.
But even Sutton this game, I mean, 4 targets, 1 catch.
Yeah, he struggled in it. I thought he was going to do well because it seemed like a lot of secondary players for the Colts were injured, but nonetheless. What about Daniel Jones? I mean, is this a resurgence? Like, change of place, get the hell out of, you know, New York? And yeah, you shine. Sam Darnold a couple years ago.
And that's why Carson Wentz will probably come out. And I mean, granted, they have the benefit of the doubt of playing Bengals without Burrow. But even though I think they're going to have a rough time with Browning still. But yeah, it's just a resurgence of change of scenery. You know, like Granite Fields didn't have a good week. But last week after his 3rd change of scenery, it was like, wow, this guy's got it. And then the Bills just... I think they were sick of everyone saying they were worried about their defense, but, you know, even though it was the great Lamar Jackson. But, yeah Danny Dimes, though.
He looks impressive. I'm very impressed.
And,
I mean,
and again, this may be beneficial to – they already said they weren't trading him.
No.
TR. And it just shows that, you know, not that he's the best person to learn from, but you can still learn from him. And he had talent. He was also in New York. You know, ever since Eli, everyone goes there to just get killed.
Definitely. And then on top of it, like, he doesn't normally throw for 300 yards. And I think back-to-back weeks he's throwing for 300.
Yeah, and he only 23 catches. I mean, he threw the ball 34 times, but that's a high average per attempt and catch, really.
Right. And then on top of that, it's easier throwing when you have a guy like Jonathan Taylor running for 165 yards.
He's a dog.
He's amazing. 2 catches, 50 yards, 1 touchdown. He could easily be the running back one overall, as long as his ankles stay healthy. That's the biggest concern. And I know it's only week 2, but he's looked dominant. And they lost a couple all-pro players on the offense line to Minnesota and et cetera. But nonetheless, they're making it work. And then Tyler Warren, is he going to be the new Brock Bowers this year, the tight end one potential?
That guy has looked electric. I passed on him in so many leagues, and that I didn't have a tight end, didn't grab one of the top five, and kicking myself when could have had him for almost nothing, right? Late. Yeah, he looks great. Seven targets, four catches, but 79 yards though. I mean, he's making those target or the catches he does catch go for every yard possible.
Right, definitely.
And he does look like a good route runner, just like Brock Bowers, which is scary.
Yes, definitely. I'm so mad I couldn't get him in Dynasty because he went ahead of me like one or two picks. All right, last game we'll talk about is Panthers versus Cardinals. Bryce Young. He looked terrible in the beginning of the game, I felt like, having two turnovers, interception and fumble loss. Comes back 328, three touchdowns. He was great for fantasy numbers, but NFL standards, he looks terrible. I felt like, you know, having two possessions, two turnovers, it was not great.
Yeah, then, he threw the ball 55 times.
Yeah, 55 times he's throwing the ball. I mean, they look at the ground game. Hubbard, 38 yards, couldn't get the ground game going. And the only one that was consistent was McMillan.
He's looking good.
Six catches, 100 yards. I mean, again, he comes back with a redemption. He had a pretty good, solid first game, you know, 50 yards. But, I mean, 100 yards with him is great to see him. Hunter Renfrow, what the heck? Two touchdowns for him. And then Jatavion Sanders, seven catches, 54 yards. It's great to see that as well. Because last year he showed so much promise before his injury, in my opinion. But I mean,
loving the Cardinals, though.
Cardinals. Connor, I mean, 34 yards, one touchdown is what's saving him. It's great to see that one touchdown. I did predict that.
Yeah, that's the only one I hit.
What the heck? What's going on with Marvin Mims or Marvin Harrison Jr.? Is he elite? Is he not? He doesn't get the ball. Five targets, two catches, 27 yards this week. Last week,
it's the Trey McBride game. Not that he blew it up or anything, but
last week he had five catches, 71 and a touchdown, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, Trey McBride always is getting his targets, he's getting fed. The offense runs through Trey McBride, and I'm glad because he looks good, and he is good. But, yeah.
Marvin Harrison, I think, is great still. But the one cool thing about him is, you know, he gets five targets when he catches the ball twice. You don't see him throwing tenter tantrums, get me the ball, feed me.
Not yet.
Publicly or on the sideline. I think his old man would slap him or punch him or something, I think, if he did. You know, you just got to know how great you are. Time will come. I mean, even last year, it's not like he blew it up every game. He was more of a roller coaster. But, I mean, when he blew it up.
Right.
And they're winning right now. So it's like you can't really be upset. And they're finding other ways with their defense playing pretty good or good enough. Not that they, you know, are looking elite, but they're looking pretty good. I think the Cardinals can be a scary team.
I didn't even know they were 2-0. Jeez.
Oh, yeah.
Well, before we get in the over and under reacts, let's hear a word from the Podfather.
Pour one out for an incredible best ball season. It was a breakout 2025 for Fast Draft, but now the NFL action has started. That means it's DFS season. That's right. You might think, oh, wow, DFS, I can't win DFS. Oh, but you can on Fast Draft. You just pick any six guys and you put them in a handful of booster spots. There's no salary rubric you have to follow. You're not going up against thousands of killer bots in these tournaments. Oh, no. These are regular people grabbing their six favorite plays of the week, and that's all you have to do. And we post the ownership so that you can choose how much chalk you want. There is no drafting. It's called the Quick Six Super Slam. The Quick Six Super Slam is the signature DFS contest at Fast Draft. It is changing DFS. We are making DFS great again. So go to fastdraft.app and use your host promo code for a $50 deposit match. And let's go start drafting faster.
Yeah, go ahead and download Fast Draft. Use promo code Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, for dollar-for-dollar match up to $50. Also, I just took third and eighth, so you could compete against me as well as others from around. Punzel, I'm going to give you 10 players. We're going to kind of keep it shorter. Based on their performance through the season, let me know, are you over or underreacting? Number one guy, Terry McLaurin.
You know, I've loved this guy for years. I'm gonna underreact just because of, you know, him holding out, self-inflicted. I think he, you know, every fantasy manager that owns him is feeling the brunt force of the holdout. You know, you heard rumors of losing the connection because he was, you know, holding in, not practicing. And then once he was back, got his extension, extra practices, things of that nature to try to get that chemistry back. You know, with a quarterback going in year two, it's not like it was Aaron Rodgers that you're holding out on, and then, you know, he's just going to be able to snap his fingers and you're all good.
Right. I'm underreacting as well. He's getting back in football shape. He's, you know, again, doing that connection with Jaden Daniels. Hell, in week two, he had 9 targets, hauling in only 5 of them, unfortunately, but the targets are there. He's going to get it going shortly. Next guy, Matthew Golden. We talked about him earlier. What is your reaction?
I'm going to underreact for now. Now that, especially with Reed going down, I mean, this is his time to shine. If he comes out and is a dud again, you know, maybe start trending the other way. I mean, he was just, you know, not his fault. Jordan Love by a mere foot, if that, 12 inches or less, missed a 90-something yard tutty, right? Yeah. And then that other one that got broken up in the end zone, he was late throwing the ball, or if he either, you know, lobs it up over his head with some finesse, he catches that, I think, no doubt. Or he threw it a little bit quicker, that D-back doesn't get back there. And again, touchdown either way he does it, and he kind of underthrew it. So he had the opportunities taken away from him by Love, not by much.
Yep. Yeah, I'm underreacting as well. I mean, his time to shine is this week or week four before the bye week. I seen him running routes. I, you know, looked at player all 32, and he is wide open a lot of times. You know, Love just got the ball out a little bit quicker before Golden got out of his breaks, so maybe that has something to do with it. You said, again, just barely overthrew the 92-yard touchdown, possibly. But with Reed out, it's now. Next guy let's talk about is J.J. McCarthy. I mean, we did the show sheet before this injury reported, but nonetheless, let's just talk about him real quick. How you react?
I'm overreacting. I didn't think he was great when they took him. I didn't think it was the best fit. I'm not saying he's going to be bad. You know, he had a lot of things taken away. I'll give him a little bit of a break here this last game just because he just became a dad, you know, on Thursday. And then, you know, his girlfriend, wife, whatever, let him out of the house that quick. I don't know how he gets that luxury to go back to work a couple days later. But, I don't know how he pulled that off. And then, yeah, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He's probably riding a high. You know, he's coming back, beating the Bears. Boom, become a dad. But I still going to overreact. Obviously, we won't see him for sure a week, probably 2 to 4. And I feel like with their schedule, I mean, if he doesn't play this week, doesn't play week 4, I mean, they're already across the pond. I do believe they're in the pond week 4 and 5, back-to-back. I'm sure they're staying over there. I would highly doubt they fly back. So I feel like if he doesn't make that trip, unless they have him make it, but I just have a tough time seeing it. I think he's going to be out until they get back to the States.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
we'll see. Maybe the sitting, letting that ankle rehab, maybe he'll learn a couple extra things when he can kind of still practice and see – someone that was great at one time.
Before
you can learn a little bit from him in game action, right?
Right.
You know, Carson Wentz was on MVP run before he got hurt.
Yeah, I'm overreacting as well. Week one, he looked like dog crap in the first three quarters, only having 56 yards passing. In the fourth quarter, I don't know what happened. He just channeled some inner thing. 87 yards and three scores. But last night, the boring fest, you know, of field goal games, he had only 158 yards with two interceptions, a fumble loss. And you got, what, one or the first or second best wide receiver on your team, and you're not getting him the ball that much. It's concerning, especially since Sam Darnold, he sucked it all those, you know, forever. Went there and was top 10 quarterback for the Vikings. Next guy, Derrick Henry. Are you overreacting or under?
Yeah. Under, nothing really to say. It's Derrick Henry. I mean, he had 270 yards week one.
Yeah.
He was tired and he's old. They're giving him a break. They didn't need him. But now I don't know if that was legit the game plan. I know he did 2 weeks in a row put the ball on the ground, but he at least got that one back. But that's something you never see from him. So that potentially is an alarming thing, but it could have been a fluke.
Yeah.
That's all I'm really going to touch on that one.
I mean, I can't say I'm underreacting as well. I mean, they did put up 41 points, but Lamar Jackson only rushed twice in that game. And normally he rushes 10 times. Derrick Henry only rushed 11 for 23 yards. It wasn't a lot. Unfortunately, he had the fumble, but it's Derrick Henry. He's not losing a step. I mean, he proved it in week one. He still got it. Brian Thomas Jr.
Oh, I mean, this one I'm feeling a little overreaction, but not so much on him. More of the long hair fella throwing him the ball.
Yeah.
So as far as a fantasy aspect, overreacting. Player-wise, definitely underreacting. I think the connection will come back, but it's just until it happens, it's almost tough to it's kind of tough to start, and just like AJ Brown right now.
Yeah. That's that one's rough. I don't know what to do with AJ Brown as well. I feel like I'm underreacting, but you know, week one he had 7 targets, only caught 1. Week two, 12 targets, only caught 4. But I went back and I actually just watched a lot of his tape, and he is not looking like he's giving it all. Like, he dropped multiple balls in the last 2 weeks, and or he stopped his route because he didn't want to get hit or whatever. I know Lawrence shouldn't be throwing him hospital balls. It's not, you know, Chris Olave type style, but it's scary for seeing him not give up. It's almost like he's giving up on the ball a lot. If you watch some of the, you know, his route running and dropping the ball at like the 5, you know, a couple of touchdowns, he caught the ball but stepped out instead. It's concerning that way, but I feel like he's going to get it going. So I guess I will underreact here again. Let's move on to Bryce Young.
I'm going to overreact unless they get his pass attempts down. Just think he's throwing it too much. And fantasy wise, I do not want him as my quarterback.
No.
No. I mean, now if you have to grab him because you had Burrow and that's just what you get off the waiver wires, but I think he'll turn it around and be, because I mean, he saw it last year towards the end of the year where it was like, okay, he's looking all right. He might have it together. He might not be a dud, right?
Yep.
But it's just, I haven't really seen the, oh, wow. Oh, wow. Like more than a couple times a game.
Yep. Yeah. I'm still debating. You know, we say in week one, he looked like crap. Week two at the beginning of the game, like I said, he looked like crap for NFL play standards. But for fantasy football, we like seeing him throwing 55 times just because it means more opportunity for fantasy points for us. In week one, he threw 35 times. So far, he's got 90 attempts on the year. So that's 45 attempts every game currently. just brings back memories of Jameis Winston in 2019 when he threw 30 interceptions and he was quarterback 4 on the year. Like, it just gives us a little bit promise, but I guess I'm talking myself into underreacting, but only from a fantasy football viewpoint. NFL standards, it scares me because it looks like he might get benched again if he doesn't turn it around. I know the second half he did turn it around in that game, going for over 300 yards, but the turnovers, he's got to be better with the ball. If they don't win games, it's going to be scary. He's going to get replaced by Archie Manning. I don't know, you know.
But, I don't know if you want him right now.
Not after Ohio State game, but that's a great defense. But let's go on to Jalen Hurts.
Overreacting. I told myself I wasn't touching him with a 10-foot pole this year. And I did not.
You're lucky.
You know, they're winning their games, but you know, they have a great defense. They got Saquon, workhorse, and yep. You know, which team wise is great, because you don't have to have him do too much. You can maybe keep him healthy, even though he still runs quite a bit. But even that, it's not making up for the lackluster fantasy points.
Yep.
I don't have him, and I don't think I played him, so I didn't really look to see what he fared this week, but I don't think it was very good.
Barely over 100 yards passing, 101. And he scares me. I'm overreacting as well. 152 passing in week one, 62 on the ground. Two scores. Unfortunately, the Cowboys couldn't maintain him into the pocket. But Chiefs did. I mean, he only had 15 on the ground and a score only because of the tush push. If he doesn't have the tush push, I mean, let's be honest. He's going to be pretty bad for us fantasy gamers. Oh, and he only had 101 yards passing. It's concerning for him. It's concerning for A.J. Brown, like you mentioned earlier, Devontae Smith. It's scary because we all know that Saquon Barkley is getting his 20 touches. It hurts, though. He's hurting us, like, realistically. So it concerns me a lot. What about DJ Moore?
I'm going to actually underreact.
Okay.
And that's because I think the insurgence, which I think Odunze is going to be the official number one in the very near future. And that's why I'm underreacting, because like where Odunze is benefiting right now, or Odunze, however you say his name, with DJ Moore still getting that attention because he's still like, you know, the number one, still a beast. Now Caleb needs to figure out how to throw a little more accurately and make some better decisions at times and not panic. But once Odunze gets the double teams more, and DJ Moore, you're going to find singled out as, you know, in that number two role and have a lot more opportunity, I think, in the near future. So I think he's a guy, if you can get him low, to stash on your bench, because you have a deep bench that could end up potentially helping you down the road if an injury or bye weeks.
Yeah, definitely.
That's where my feeling on DJ Moore is.
I'm overreacting. I guess for me, I feel like Caleb Williams has looked better than expected, I guess, compared to last season, I guess. You know,
and when he learns the offense more, Caleb.
Once he learns, yeah. But he's been targeting Odunze way more than DJ Moore, which concerned me because I thought Moore was supposed to be the hype on, you know, the go-to guy all offseason. He was getting hyped by Ben Johnson saying DJ Moore is going to get the ball. He's going to be the Amara St. Brown of this offense. He's got 5 and 6 targets, 0 touchdowns. Odunze, 9 and 11 targets, 3 touchdowns. I think Odunze is here to stay. Colson Loveland, Cole Kmet, you know, there's so many other guys that so many mouths to feed. Zacchaeus, you know, and dumps off to Swift. There's so many mouths to feed. So it scares me about DJ Moore. We got two more here, two rookies. Caleb Johnson, what do you feel?
He was in a league I went very running back and or not running back, wide receiver, and took Brock Bowers early. Heavy. He was supposed to be my dark horse, and that is not looking good at all. I mean, it doesn't even show a glimpse at the end of the tunnel. So overreacting. Obviously, game one, I figured the game plan wouldn't be run first just for the revenge game. I'm sure they had that teed off as long as it didn't get him in trouble. You're going to show them that your 43 year old self can still ball, and we're glad to have you here in Pittsburgh.
Right.
So, first week, I let it slide because there was a lackluster of rushing in that game on Pittsburgh's side of the ball. But yeah, he did not look good.
No. Yeah, I'm
And with and
overreacting
Warren's
as
doing
well.
decent, so it's like, yeah,
Yep.
it just I'm worried, overreacting big time.
I'm right there with you, overreacting. He's got two career rushing attempts, one or negative 1 yard on his career. He's not part of this offense. It's Warren, it's Gainwell. Warren had 11 and 14 rushing attempts. Plus, Caleb Johnson had a costly fumble on the kickoff that went through his hands, and he just let it go into the end zone and just watched it and walked off the sideline. Seattle recovered it in the end zone for a touchdown. Those types of things are going to keep you on the bench. It's
I was
just
watching a Pop
stupid.
Warner game.
Yeah, I mean,
Like, how do you do that?
he just doesn't know the rule of the, it has to land in all this, which it did. Goes through his hands, he watches it go to the end zone and doesn't even make an attempt to go after it. He just walks off the field.
Yeah, I don't know if he just thought that it had enough steam that it was rolling out and it just stopped on that
Even if it rolled
nine
out,
and a half yard line into the end zone.
even if it rolled out, I'm pretty sure that's still a safety because he touched it in the field of play. You know, like,
Did he officially touch it? Because it looked like it actually missed him.
I'm
It was
guessing,
close,
I'm
but
assuming it did, but nonetheless, it's just that type of stuff. Like, come on, you're going to get benched, especially with Mike Tomlin. Our last guy we're going to talk about is Travion Henderson. I've been hyping him up all offseason, but what is your thoughts?
because of how good Ramondre looked, I am overreacting. Like, I think they kind of were ready to just let. I don't know if it went. I mean, it could have actually. Like, I don't know if they're just willing, like, you're the dog, you're getting the ball, you're going to kill it. And then, trade bait. Because Ramondre, I mean, he just proved that he still has it. If they were going to try to, get another piece, if they're still in if they're in the playoff hunt, get rid of Ramondre to get something else. Even though you should probably showcase him a little more than you did the first week. But yeah, he just balled out so well. He's the veteran. Not saying that he's going to be ineffective, but pending an injury, I think for the foreseeable future, I think they're going to keep some tread off, a tread on the tires and not play him when Ramondre is being as productive as he is. So overreact big time.
Right. Yeah, I'm overreacting for the first half of the season. Then at week eight, I'm hoping I'm going to be underreacting because I really believe in Henderson and his ability. But week one, he played 38% of snaps. Then the team comes out. We need to get him more involved. And how do you follow that up? You play him 32% of snaps? Come on. If you're going to hype him up and say he needs to get in there and you got to get him the ball and you play him less, that's concerning. And preseason looked amazing. His hype was real. I still think he could be a league winner, but it'll be coming week 10 on because I feel
Yeah.
like the Patriots might be out. I don't know. I feel like Patriots should have won the week one against Raiders, but unfortunately they didn't. So now they're only 1-1.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm saying we need to get the ball more. And he played last, I just think was just a product of, I think the game plan was to have him out more, I bet. I don't think they would have did that intentionally, just with how good Ramondre did. Like, how do you take him out
But
when he's being that productive?
at the same time, you look at it, Antonio Gibson got more touches than Henderson. It's concerning then, I mean, Gibson also ran back a 90-yard kickoff return, but still, I just, it's concerning for sure right now. But that is your over and under reaction players of the week. let's get into our waivers quick and we'll get you out of here. Give me your top waiver ad for each position and why.
I bet you this is going to be the same. Jake Browning, you know, he still threw three picks and had 24.7 points, right? We already mentioned that.
Yep.
I think he's going to succeed. I mean, he showed it 2 years ago. You have one of the best duos in the NFL, probably the best, right? Chase, arguably number one, him and JJ, tomato, tomato, right? And then T. Higgins is a number one on every team but his own in Minnesota. You know, he just has all the pieces. I mean, granted, you could say the same about JJ, but it's not looking so great. JJ McCarthy, you know, where he has all the pieces, but that offensive line wasn't blocking for him. I mean, that's something that scares me. If he's going to get beat up like Burrow did, how long does he add him in some type of injury way, right? But I think, especially if you have Burrow, you got to be going for this guy.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I totally agree. Give me your running back and everyone else as well.
So this is funny. I was kind of looking at some stuff. So this is a weird one. I saw, at least in sleeper leagues, he is available in 41% of leagues. And I think people gave up on him week one, but the guy we just talked about, Ramondre Stevenson. Like, I feel like I can have him if he's available in 41% of leagues that people just gave up and just dropped him, or because he had to have been drafted still.
Yeah.
You know, we thought, especially at the beginning of the year, it was going to be more 60-40, kind of eased in Henderson, maybe 50-50. But yeah, I mean, Ramondre just proved that he could still ball. I think he had 21 points. He was asset on both sides of the, you know, the spectrum of the game on rushing and receiving. Proven that, yeah, I can catch the ball as good as the rest of them. That's a running back, which is wild. I don't remember him getting that many or being that productive in the receiving game. So that's who I picked for running back. My wide receiver is going to be Wandell Robinson. And I actually picked that before I ever saw yours. So it was funny when I scrolled down and saw it. I was like, oh, that's good. But yeah, I mean, I wrote down some stats here. He had 18 targets, 8 and 10, respectively. 14 of those were caught. 197 yards, 1 touchdown. Now, the guy that is absolutely killing it, his co-partner here, has 25 targets in Malik Nabers, right? The 14 catches as well. Now, more productive on those catches of 238 yards and only 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
But Wandell is, you know, kind of like what Dunze is doing right now. Dunze, he's benefiting for being number two. I mean, granted, he's always going to be the number two in that offense, but where Dunze is going to take it over. But he's, I mean, if he's on the waiver wire and he's getting, averaging 9 targets a game and catching, you know, whatever that math is, to 80% of them, that's pretty good. And it's not like he's getting dump passes. I mean, he still averages over 10 yards a over 10 yards a target, but catch wise, he's averaging like 13 yards a catch.
Yep. Yeah.
And then lastly, tight end, I'm going to go with Zach Ertz.
Okay.
I was actually going to pick who you picked. So I'll let you talk about him. And then, but Zach Ertz was the next one because he's available in 48%.
Okay.
And yeah. You know, with a Packers team that seemed to shut literally everyone down, for him to have that big of a game when how well the Packers played, I think is even more electric. And I think it was a, you know, I forgot what they said. Like he had a couple bad years in there, and he still, I think, is approaching number 5 all time on the tight end list, I think, or
yeah,
number 8 or something weird, where it was like kind of caught me off guard because he was
had a lot productive of injury in Philly. Yep, a lot of injured seasons as well.
And he's showing he's still got it. You know, he's not a running back. He doesn't need to be 28. No, look at Kelsey. I mean, he's old for a football player.
Right. Well, my waiver ads, again, like you said, quarterback, Jake Browning. If you need to replace Joe Burrow, just simply replace him with Jake Browning. He's only played 70% of snaps. Yes, is, you know, rushed in there. He finished as quarterback 14 on the week. But do you remember 2 years ago when Burrow had that wrist injury? Browning started the last 7 games. This is how he finished each week. His first start was quarterback 18. Then it was 4, 4, 8, 21. He had 3 interceptions that game, 8 and 9. Those are quarterback 1 numbers. And personally, I had him starting in a championship league with Easton Stick, and he won me the championship. I feel like he's just going to replace. He's got the best receiver in the game in, you know, in Jamar Chase, but nonetheless, I think he will step up and be a quarterback 1 for Joe Burrow. My running back, Bashaw Tootin. I'm not the highest on Bashaw Tootin personally. Maybe it's because I'm biased and I still think my guy LaQuint Allen from Syracuse is better, but NFL thinks otherwise. He's available in 55% of leagues on Sleeper. And Jags traded away Tank Bigsby after week 1. We heard Tootin is going to play more. He only played 6% in week 1. Week 2, he played 25%. In his limited play, he had 8 carries, 42 yards, and caught 2 passes for 32 yards and a touchdown. I feel like he's going to gain more and more opportunities as the season goes along. We got to remember, Liam Cohen had Rashad White last year, and he, you know, first week busted him out. Week 2, hey, Bucky Irving's coming creeping up. Maybe we see the same kind of transition for Bashaw Tootin. And if that's the case, I'd be stashing Tootin right now on deep benches. Wandale Robinson is my wide receiver. Week 1, thought it was like, okay, hey, it's week 1. He always gets that big game performance. And then week 2 happens, 10 targets. And currently he's wide receiver 5 of the week. And for the Giants, you know, they're not going to run the ball. They can't run the ball. The offensive line sucks. And Wilson had a career day against the Cowboys for 400 and some odd yards, 460. I think Wandell is here to stay. Every year, him and Neighbors last year were the most targeted players in the first, like, 5 weeks. Can we see the same? Because, you know, Cam Scaraboo is the new RB1 for Giants because Tyrone Tracy, I haven't seen much play last week, or this week, I guess you'd say. I think Wandell is here to stay, though. And then my tight end, had him last week as my waiver ad. He's still available in 50% of leagues. Last week, he finished as tight end 4. This week, he's currently tight end 3. Played 99% of snaps and 98. There's no competition behind Juwan Johnson. Add Juwan Johnson. He's the second read of this offense behind Chris Olave. And even then, he still might be the first read. He's just good. So I like Juwan Johnson. So get you some.
Yeah, Juwan Johnson, I saw, like, at least on Sleeper, I think his pickup rate from last week went up like 40-something percent, and he's still available. Yeah, in half 50%. The leagues.
That's crazy. And right away, what does he do? He scores a touchdown against a pretty good 49ers team, I feel like, still overall. But nonetheless, it was great, and I would definitely add him. He's probably like the Jonnu Smith type player this year. Guy you didn't think about, add him now before it's too late.
Oh, absolutely. And then I would say, like, a bonus, just for like the Burrow, and then potentially Daniels, potentially, or for sure McCarthy. I wrote down people like Geno.
Yep.
I crossed CJ off the list after tonight's game. like Geno Smith. Even a Tua, he's still put up fantasy numbers. Trevor Lawrence.
Geno's already got an interception, just a heads up.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he's 5 for 8, 36 in interception. But nonetheless, he'll be passing quite often.
But the other guys to look at, if you're, you know, you got one of those 3. I mean, I'm sure you probably didn't have JJ as your starter, so you're probably okay there. But if you got to replace Jaden Daniels for a week, you know, someone you don't have to give up your left leg for, just to have some solid quarterback play here for a week. Three.
Yeah, I also like Danny Dimes as well. Daniel Jones, yeah. He's available in like 43% of leagues. I originally had him, and then I looked into Jake Browning's stats from a couple years ago, and I really liked him just for because he's not even owned. He's 100% open in pretty much any redraft league, I would say. If you have him, screenshot and send it to me, and I'll give you a round of applause because that's a random ad. But nonetheless, you know, that is today's episode of Fantasy End Zone. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to follow, like, subscribe, click here. You know, check back each and every week. I'm on in Tuesdays and Fridays. Big shout out to you, Punzel, for joining me today. We'll get you back on here sometime this year. But remember, you can follow myself on Twitter, X, whatever you so call it, at LouisLewis5. Do you have a Twitter? I don't know if you really use it too much.
I mean, I do. I think my last tweet was probably 3.5 years ago, maybe.
Yeah. So. But nonetheless, I'll see you fantasy gamers next week. Until then, peace out.